Mishnah Yomis for Wednesday, Yud Gimel, Sivan Tovshin Pei Dalet. Masechta Gittin, Perek Revi, Mishnah Beis. Previously we learned about a husband sending a get to his wife through a shliach l'hoilocha. L'hoilocha means to take it to her, but as long as she hasn't got it, the husband is able to mevatel the get, because it's not a get until it reaches the hands of the woman. So the husband tells the shliach or tells the woman that the get's bottle. But our Mishnah is going to talk about being mevatel the get, husband nullifying the get in front of others, not in front of the shliach or in front of the woman. And we're going to see the takana of Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin in this matter. And another takana that Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin made as well. Says the Mishnah, Perek Revi, Mishnah Beis. Barishoy Nahoya Oysa Beis Din, B'mokam Acher U'mevatloi. Initially, originally, the husband would put a beis din together somewhere else, not in front of the shliach who he sent with the get, nor the woman herself, u'mevatloi, and he would be able to nullify the get before it reached the hand of the woman. Now, even though it says the word beis din, there is machlokes in the Gemara as to if this really was a beis din of two, which is really not a beis din, or does it mean a regular beis din of three people? Rav Nachman says that the beis din here does not mean a normal beis din. It means two people is sufficient. Why? Because beis din, this beis din is not actually doing anything. It's only informing him. They're just informing that beis din, those two people. And that's why you only need to informing them that I hereby mevatel the get of my wife. That's all. Rav Sheshes, however, says no. Rav Sheshes is of the opinion that beis din here means a proper beis din of three. Why? Because we need three people before it can spread. And it doesn't spread enough if it's only two. We need three people to hear it, to give it a coil, and that news will spread and reach the wife. If he's mevatel it only in front of two people, it's not good. Hiskin Rabban Gamliel Hazakin, Shalo Yehu Oysen Kain. And Gamliel Hazakin said, no, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to be mevatel a get in the absence of the shliach or in the absence of the woman, mipnei tikun ha'olam, because it can cause a disaster if we allow this to happen. It's tikun ha'olam. Now, what is exactly does tikun ha'olam here mean? Some of the Gemara learn it means in order to stop mamzerim happening. Why? Because it's quite likely to have a disaster by being mevatel a get in another place, not in front of the original shliach or the wife. Because it's possible the shliach or the wife won't hear about it until it's too late. She'll get married, thinking the get's fine, hasn't become bottle. She'll have kids with the new husband. But if she's really not still married to the original husband because he was mevatelet, then the children will be mamzerim from the new husband. That's terrible. To stop this happening, they said, no, you mevatel the get in front of the shliach himself or the lady or the woman. That's how one explanation of the Gemara. According to this explanation, some say that this is that they learned this way Takanas Mamzerim because they hold that it's enough to be mevatel in front of two people. Originally, it was a beis din mint of two, like Rav Nachman explained, and that's why this could lead to disaster. The lady won't hear about it. The shliach won't hear about it. There's only two people, and to be mevatel a get like this could have dire consequences with Mamzerim coming up. Others learn in the Gemara differently. They learn that the reason of Gamliel is cause to stop agunos. What does that mean? They say a husband can only mevatel the get in front of three people. So as far as mamzerim is concerned, we're not worried about it. Because once you have three people assembled together as a beis din, it's going to spread fast. And the shliach will probably know about it, and the wife will know about it, about the bittul of the get, so she won't get married. So we're not worried about mamzerim. But what are we worried about? Rabbi Gamliel was worried about the takana of the agunos, meaning that as a result of making the husband go directly to the shliach or directly to the wife, to mevatel a get, he'll say, it's too much of a schlep. I'm not going to do that. Let her be divorced. And that's good because it will allow the woman to know where she's standing. She won't be left in a limbo state of an aguna state, not having a get and not being with a husband. This will be it'll bring things to finality, so you won't have agunos. That's how others learn in the Gemara, what is meant by tikkun olam, to help the agunos. continues the Mishnah. Barishoyna hoyo meshane shemoy ushma shem ira v'shem ira. Initially, the husband, when he wrote the get, he would change his name, the wife's name, the city's names, to what they were called in the place where the get's written, even though it's quite different to what he's using outside this town and what she, the wife, uses outside the town, or what the city is being called outside this town. It doesn't matter. You would write down the name of the place, the name of the people, as they are called in the city, the place where they're writing the get. However, v'hiskin rabban gamliel hazokin, he made a takana shehe koisiv that one should write ishploini v'chol shem sheyeshlei. This man, whatever his name is, Yankel, and every other name that he has. Ishoploinis, the woman, v'chol shem sheyeshlei, and any name that she has. I.e., that you write the actual name, the name that's known, the name by which the husband is called in the place where the get's written. And the same thing in the woman, in the place of the woman that the get's being written, what's her name? And add the words, v'chol shem sheyeshla, and any other name that she has, or any other name that he has. Same thing applies to the city, name of the city, name of her city as well. It's the way that their cities are referred to, their localities are referred to, in the place where the get is written. Now, others learn that what the Mishnah means, or what Rav Gamliel did was, he said, in addition to the names that they're known by, in the place of the locality where the get's written, they have to expressly state the other names that they are known by. So let's say he's known by Yankel in this city, Yaakov, and he's known as Beryl in outside this town, then in his hometown maybe, then it should be written Yankel, who is known as Beryl, and any other name that they have. Same thing with the wife, same thing with the name of the city. That's how others learn in the Mishnah what it means. And why is this? This is Mipnei Tikkun Ha'olam. It's in order to help the world. In other words, not to have a problem to people start saying, oh, she really didn't get a divorce from her husband. Oh, that get's got another name on it. It's got a different name of the city. And this was in order to make sure that the get is given a proper clearance, and they shouldn't be subject to ridicule. And God forbid, then the children that she comes from, that would be born from the new husband, would be mamzerim. God forbid. So it's to stop that happening. The Gemara explains also that this takana was only necessary when they actually had other names in use. But if they don't really have other names in use, then you don't have to add any other name that he has. It's fine. Mishnah Gimel. Now that we've mentioned two takanas of Rav Gamliel Hazoken because of Tikkun Ha'olam, we have now, in the coming chapters, we're going to have further takanas that were made because of Tikkun Ha'olam or because of Darkei Shalom to keep the peace, even though they're not related directly to Gittin. Says the Mishnah, Ein almona nifras minichse yisomim ela bishvua. A widow will not get paid the ksuba that's owed to her after her husband dies from the properties of the orphans unless she gives an oath. She has to give a shvua that she didn't receive anything on the cheshbon of her ksuba. Nothing's that she can't, that she can, she declares or she swears that she hasn't received anything yet up front. But as time went on, Nimnu Milashpia, the courts were reluctant to make her give such an oath, and they didn't want to do this anymore because they found that many women were swearing that they haven't received anything, whereas they really had, but they believed that this was in lieu of the work that they're putting into the marriage or into whatever they've been doing to take care of things. And all the tircha, the extra work that you're doing, they thought they were entitled to this money, not believing that or thinking that it was really to come off the ksuba. So they'd make an oath that they haven't received anything from the ksuba, and therefore they stopped making such an oath because it turned out to be an oath that was not really correct. And once that happened, she couldn't get the ksuba anymore from the yisomim, from the orphans. So hiskin rabban gamliel hazaken. He made a takana, shetehe noideres la yisomim kol mashi yirtzu, that she should make a vow to the orphans as in anything that they want. In other words, instead of making a shvur, an oath, she should make a neder, make a vow, for not having benefit for anything that the orphans wanted to make a vow for. For example, they might wanted to say, make a vow that you ban all apples or all oranges and apples if you've received anything from your ksuba. And once she makes such a neder, then she can get her ksuba, collect her ksuba. Now, how did this help? What was this better than a shvur? Some learn that women were more frightened of making a neder than a shvur. Others learn that they'd have a greater impact, the vow, because with a vow, let's say she vows that she's not going to have a certain food. She's never going to have bread, for example. So every time she'd eat the bread, she'd remember, oh, I've made a vow, can't eat bread. It would bother her much more than the shvur because of that. And therefore it was more effective. Ha'edim chosmin al haget. Now, the edim, witnesses, sign on the get, they put their names and sign it, only mipnei tikkun ha'olam. Only because we worried that maybe the edim that saw the get being handed over, who were the main edim, according to Rabbi Elazar, or maybe have gone over, or died, or maybe they've gone overseas, and the husband will claim it's a forgery, and therefore they said, we want edim's chasimus on the get anyway. They, even though they don't make or break the get, right, because our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Elazar, who holds that the main people that make the get, the main edim, are not the edim signing on the get, but the edim that see it handed over to the woman. Nevertheless, we should still write the edim's names on the get, so that one can, they should sign the get, so that in the absence of having the edim asira, the edim before whom the get was handed over, at least we've got something else to go on. We can try to confirm the edim signatures. Some learn in the Gemara that our Mishnah goes even according to Rabbi Meir, that the main people or the main effect of the get is done by the Eidei HaChasima, the Eidim that sign on the get. Aye, but the Mishnah says it's only there because of Tikkun Olam. It's only there to repair or in just in case of trouble. The answer is, they explain, that even though the main people who sign on are the Eidei HaChasima, until this takana, it was not necessary to write the actual names out. They would just sign on it. They wouldn't have to put their names on it. This takana was, according to this opinion, that the Eidim who sign on the get should not only sign, but actually write their names in print so we know who they are. And if we need to confirm the signatures, it'll be much easier to be able to find people who would know who these people are and confirm their signatures. Continues the Mishnah, Hillel hiskin prusbul mipnei tikkun ha'olam. Hillel designed a prusbul because of tikkun ha'olam, for tikkun for the world. What does that mean? Hillel Azokin saw that people stopped lending to one another because they were worried that they won't get their debt paid back. Shmita will come and it will cancel the debt, and then they won't be able to collect it. So they didn't want to lend money anymore. And therefore, by doing so, they would violate what it's written in the Torah. Hishomelecha, take heed, lest you have a bad thought, a bad thinking, oh, Schmidt is coming along, and you'll feel bad. You'll feel bad towards your brother who is poor, and you won't give him a loan because you're too frightened that Schmidt will pass and he won't pay it back, and Schmidt will cancel the debt. So Hill made what's called a prusbul. Prusbul is a document in which the lender gives his debt to Beis Din to collect. He gives them the authority to collect it before the Shmita comes. And when that happens, then the Shmita will not release the debt, will not release the borrower from the debt, because it's now Beis Din collecting it, not a private person. Prusbul is actually a Greek word. It's made up of, it means prusbuli veluti. Prusbuli ubuti, I should say. And what it means is it's a takana for both the rich and the poor. Puli ubuti. Why? It's a takana. It helps the rich so that their monies will not be absconded or lost by lending. And it's a takana for the poor because it allows them to seek credit. Otherwise, no one will lend them money.